Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the pro-life group Northwest Alliance has defended its decision to erect a number of small white crosses outside the medical centre in Fulcara, while the Together for Yes group says the protest that was also held in Fulcara on Saturday was intimidating for women. Four Eastern Europeans arrested by Gardaí in Donegal Town on January the 6th have appeared in court today, charged with having items that could be used in connection with theft or burglary. The family of Deirdre John Leo Flaherty have raised concerns about the Garda operation carried out in a search for her remains last week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the British Prime Minister has passionately appealed to MPs to support her withdrawal agreement tomorrow. Theresa May has made a last-ditch attempt to convince them to endorse the deal following a new letter from the EU to the British government. The letter provides clarifications on the Irish backstop from the EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and the European Council's Donald Tusk. It says the backstop would only ever be temporary and there can be no renegotiation. Theresa May made this appeal in the House of Commons a short time ago.
Did we deliver on the country's vote to leave the European Union? Did we safeguard our economy, our security and our union? Or did we let the British people down? I say we should deliver for the British people and get on with building a brighter future for our country by backing this deal tomorrow, and I commend this statement to the House.
The pro-life group Northwest Alliance has defended its decision to erect a number of small white crosses outside the medical centre in Fulcara. It follows a protest held outside the centre on Saturday. The group has denied suggestions their actions would intimidate women. Amanda Gallagher of Pro-Life Sligo, one of the organisers of the protest, told today's 9 till noon show that their only aim is to offer women genuine options.
Well, in no way would we wish to upset anybody, and it's definitely not intimidation, but can I just point out that Saturday the surgeries were closed and we were there, so there were no patients going in, Greg. But if there were patients going in, we would simply like to offer all women and girls in a distressed state the actual real option to keep their little child. Because when you ring the My Options helpline, the HSE and Simon Harris have set up, it says My Options, plural, but there is only one option, Greg, when you call, and that the option is to kill your child. They don't mention adoption. They don't offer financial help to the lady. They don't offer to talk to her parents, if that's what's worrying her. There are no options. So we will continue offering actual options to young women.
The people voted, though, Amanda. There was a lot of debate, a lot of discussion. The will of the people was exercised, and it was to allow women to avail of these services. Should you not be respecting that?
Indeed, people voted. They voted in May, Greg. What they didn't vote for this, I'm telling you. They voted to remove the equal right to life of the unborn child from our constitution. They voted to give a blank check to Simon Harris to do as he wills in abortion legislation, and they absolutely ran amok there in Leinster House.
Meanwhile, Sinead Stewart of Together for Yes has hit out at the weekend protest. She is backing calls for the introduction of exclusion zones and says she is concerned that such protests would impede healthcare for everyone.
I think it's intimidation, pure and simple. I think it's a pretty low blow to be protesting outside a doctor's surgery and intimidating, potentially intimidating women and girls. Nobody has the right to do that. I would be concerned about it impeding medical care, any kind of medical care, I suppose, for any patient. First and foremost, the thought that any woman or girl hasn't seriously sat down and thought about every single option available before they go to this, come to this decision, is laughable. Because every single woman and girl and every single person or family going through that has thought about every single option available to them. And they've thought very hard and they've thought very, very long about it. I don't know whether it's ignorance or arrogance that makes people think that women or girls just haven't thought about it.
Four Eastern Europeans arrested by Gardaí in Donegal town on January the 6th have appeared in court today. The men were charged with having items that could be used in connection with theft or burglary. Donegal Town District Court heard how they were detained by Gardaí after they were detected driving and allegedly acting suspiciously. Donald Kavanagh has more.
29-year-old Marion Bukhur, with an address at 60 Auburn Drive, Castleknock, Dublin, is charged with having items including a sledgehammer, a nail bar, three pairs of gloves, three beanie hats and two walkie-talkies with the intention that they be used in theft or burglary. 27-year-old George Panett, 45-year-old Stephen Serbu and 24-year-old Lulan Vlad, all of the same address, face identical charges. Panett also faces an additional charge of driving with no insurance at Tully Earl, Donegal Town, on January 6th. They made no reply to the charges, the court was told. The first defendant, Marianne Booker, said he was denying the charge. At that point, Judge Kevin Kilrain asked for more information about the allegations. After hearing details, he said he was not accepting jurisdiction. All four were remanded in custody to appear at Harristown District Court on January 25th to await DPP directions.
There were 40 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, seven of them on emergency department trolleys. The hospital was the fourth most overcrowded in the country this morning, according to the latest INMO Trolley Watch report. Nationally, there were 606 people waiting at hospitals across the country today, the highest figure since last March. As a result, special measures put in place last month as part of the HSE's winter plan have been extended for a further 2 weeks. Health Minister Simon Harris is urging people not to go to hospitals unnecessarily.
Please keep the emergency departments for emergencies. If you do find yourself with a condition, check out things like undertheweather.ie in terms of how you can best manage your own condition at home, perhaps rather than spreading infection. And I want to assure people that everything that possibly can be done is indeed being done.
There are calls on Donegal County Council to investigate what has been described as an escalating dumping issue in Letterkenny. A vast amount of discarded waste has been reported at the Windmill View area of the town, with concerns locally that the problem is increasing on a weekly basis. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh has appealed to anyone who has any information regarding illegal dumping in the town to come forward in a bid to tackle the issue as a collective.
It has just become a dumping ground. There's everything from mattresses to old pieces of furniture to black bags there. And I walk regularly in that area and see that it's just getting progressively worse. And I'm asking the council to deal with it before it does get worse, because it's going to start attracting environment soon if it's not dealt with. And it's a shame that I have to make a call like this, because, you know, there's so much effort that goes in to keeping the town tidy, and, you know, this just flies in the face of the effort that communities make and that residents' associations make to keep the places tidy, and then the efforts that the council make as well. And of course, it flies in the face of the huge effort that goes into tidy towns every year.
Obviously, there's an onus too on those responsible for this illegal dumping to stop.
Yes, exactly. And that's the second part of my motion. I'm asking that the council investigate as well, and, you know, maybe examine those black bags and that are dumped there, and see if there's any way of identifying anyone responsible for any of it, and if they can, to take action on that, because you know, we just have to stop that. And I would say to the public as well, I'm sure there's other areas of the town that are experiencing the same thing, and if they are, they should get in touch with some of their councillors and let them know, so it can be highlighted.
The family of Deirdre Donnelly O'Flaherty have raised concerns about a Garda operation carried out in a search for her remains last week. The search, which involved the excavation of land outside Milford, proved inconclusive. Roy Williams has more.
Gardaí last week carried out an excavation on land in the Milford area around 80 kilometres from the location of the disappearance in 2009. In response, the close and extended families of Dr. Donnelly O'Flaherty have requested a meeting with the investigation team to discuss a number of questions they say relate to the conduct, conclusions and consequences of the investigation. They say the notification that Gardaí were to carry out the search was entirely unexpected, especially given the finding by Belfast High Court in 2012 that Deirdre had gone into the water and drowned. They've described last week's search as an ordeal and have asked to meet officers involved with the operation.
The price of the average three-bed semi-detached house in County Donegal is expected to rise by 5% in the next 12 months. According to a survey carried out by Real Estate Alliance, prices in Donegal remain stable at €95,000 in 2018. Paul McElhinney of REA McElhinney Milford says the first half of the year will be dictated by what happens in the UK. The average semi-detached house nationally now costs €236,287. Forest Industries Ireland is forecasting major growth in Donegal as the supply of raw material increases. Between now and 2035, it predicts workers within the sector will earn an estimated €6.4 billion, of which 378 will be earned in Donegal. Currently, there are around 545 people working in the forestry sector in the county. The industry also estimates that an additional 6,000 rural jobs nationally will be created within that time frame. Mark McCauley is Director of Forest Industries Ireland.
We'd expect those owners to receive about €200 million for their timber as it matures and as it grows and as they sell it over the next period. And indeed, an equal amount of money, probably another €200 million, will be paid to people working in forestry contracting jobs. That's the planting of forests and the harvesting of forests and the movement of the timber. Another couple of €100 million in County Donegal during the period as well.
The issue of Brexit and the much uncertainty that surrounds it, particularly here up in Donegal, a border county, do you foresee the uncertainty surrounding Brexit, its implications affecting that industry?
Well, you're right to point that out. There's certainly a lot of timber and saw log that passes backwards and forwards across the border. Indeed, our chairman, Brian Murphy, is from Balcast Timber in Enniskillen, and they and lots of other companies would be sending timber backwards and forwards, and indeed there's very much a single market for timber. So it is a challenge. In the vast majority of the exports from our sector go to the UK, 84% of them. And the important thing for us is that the trucks are able to move, that the ports stay open, that the border with Northern Ireland stays open and stays fluid. That's the most important thing.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for 2019 with a massive winter sale in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with soccer, and Remelton man Barry McNamee is back at the Brandywell for a second spell with Derry City. The midfielder spent last season at Cork City and was a near ever-present in their second-place finish in the Premier Division. McNamee made his breakthrough for Derry in 2011 and went on to make over 150 appearances in his first stint for the Candy Stripes. Derry manager Declan Devine says McNamee was one of his top targets for the season that begins at home to UCD in under 4 weeks' time.
I'm delighted. He was obviously one of the top targets when we came to the club. The backroom staff have always highlighted the importance of getting a player has quality to the club. I think it's exciting for the club. I think it's exciting for the city. You know, and he is certainly a top player within the league. But again, look, one of the things that I've said all along this year is we don't want any pressure on any players. I know I've signed a quality person and a quality player, and we're just really looking forward to getting working with Barry now again.
Derry boss Declan Devine speaking on the return of Barry McNamee to Derry City. Republic of Ireland midfielder Alan Judge is on the move. The Brentford midfielder is undergoing a medical at Ipswich Town ahead of a move from Griffin Park. Judge has started just four games at Brentford in the Championship this term. Mick McCarthy appears keen to add more striking options to his Republic of Ireland squad. He's to speak with lead striker Patrick Bamford and unknown Ipswich forward Will Keane about declaring for Ireland. McCarthy's also asked Nottingham Forest striker Daryl Murphy if he'll come out off international retirement. 38 years after departing the City Ground as a player, Martin O'Neill is set to return and be confirmed as the new manager at Nottingham Forest. The former Republic of Ireland boss is said to have held talks with Forest owners over the weekend, with a deal believed to be close. It's understood that Roy Keane will be part of his management setup. Forest are currently ninth in the Championship and 4 points off the playoffs. Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman says he will never use injury as an excuse. The Donegal man was back in the Everton team for yesterday's 2-0 win over Bournemouth. Coleman had a spell on the bench following some below-par performances recently, but he insists it has little to do with his lengthy absence with a broken leg.
I think now when maybe you don't play as well as you would like, people kind of think it's related to the injury, and that'll be never an excuse that I'll look for. You know, I've been left out of the team a couple of years ago before, and you've just always got to look within, look at yourself, don't look for excuses and crack on. And that's why you play in the Premier League for 10 years by taking these things on the chin, realising if you're playing well or not, and finding a way to get back in the team.
There's action taking place cross-channel tonight. Manchester City must beat Wolverhampton Wanderers to cut Liverpool's lead at the top of the Premier League table to 4 points. Wolves head to the Etihad Stadium, having held Pep Guardiola's side to a 1-1 draw at Molineux in August. Since then, they've beaten Chelsea and Tottenham and knocked Liverpool out of the FA Cup. Will there be another big performance from Wolves tonight? We'll have to wait and see. Kick-off there is at 8 o'clock. The Bank of Ireland Dr McKenna Cup final has been fixed for the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. The Orchard County, who booked their place in the decider against Tyrone with a 1.1 over Donegal yesterday, won the toss this morning and will have home advantage this Saturday night, the 19th. The game will throw in at 7:30 p.m. Tyrone are going for their seventh win in the competition since 2012, while Armagh last won the McKenna Cup in 1994. Tyrone manager Mickey Hart is happy that the new faces in his squad have got adequate game time in the pre-season competition.
We like to have the McKenna Cup to experiment with players, and we've introduced 8 or 9 players this year to the McKenna Cup. So we want to see what they can do and how far they can go at this level. And maybe it's not for them just now, but we get a hint of what they might do in the future. So it's good. It's good to get 5 games to be able to do that and give them a reasonable amount of game time across the 4 games to date, and someone will get game time in the 5th. I think Armagh have set their sights on winning something early on this year, and this is the first opportunity to win something, so I think they'll dearly want it as much as we do, you know.
In rugby, Ulster have given an update on the fitness of a three-quarters pair, Billy Burns and John Cooney. Cooney was a late withdrawal from the side ahead of Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup win over Racing at the Kingspan Stadium. The province say the scrum half suffered a back spasm in training late last week and failed a fitness test. Meanwhile, Burns will undergo a scan, having suffered a calf strain in a Saturday's pool of 4 victory. Finally, staying with all the rugby news, Peter O'Mahony is a major doubt for Munster's final pool match against the Exeter Chiefs. The influential flanker had a scan today and is rated as 50-50 at best for Saturday's Thomond Park showdown. He suffered a rib injury during that bonus point win over Gloucestershire last Friday. That's it, Michaela. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisín. And finally in news, 21 Donegal men's sheds groups are to benefit from a share of €31,000 in funding announced today as part of the Community Enhancement Programme. In a statement, Minister Joe McHugh says the growth of men's sheds has been impressive and they have become a significant asset. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Minister McHugh confirmed today that €31,000 is being shared among 21 men's sheds groups in Donegal, with each of them receiving €1,518. The money will go towards tools, equipment, furniture, extension work, first aid and new machinery, among other things. Minister McHugh says men's sheds provide an invaluable outlet for men and help prevent isolation. He added they provide vital support and services in local communities, helping with local festivals, projects, tidy towns and having a presence in local events. The successful men's sheds are in Aranmore, Ardra, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, Ballyshannon, Carindonagh, Castle Finn, Cohanaile, Donegal Town, Dunfanaghy, Glenties, Giddore, Killybegs, Kilmacrenan, Letterkenny, Lifford, Meenanery, Meva, Moville, Raphoe, Rossbeg, Portneau and the Rosses. The funding was allocated as part of the Community Enhancement Programme funded by the Department of Rural and Community Development.
Weather now mainly cloudy with a few outbreaks of rain and drizzle edging eastwards today. Maximum temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees in moderate west to southwest breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the pro-life group at Northwest Alliance has defended its decision to erect a number of small white crosses outside the medical centre in Fulcara. It follows a protest held outside the centre on Saturday. Meanwhile, Sinead Stewart of Together for Yes has hit out at the weekend protest. She is backing calls for the introduction of exclusion zones and says she is concerned that such protests would impede healthcare for everyone. Four Eastern Europeans arrested by Gardaí in Donegal Town on January the 6th have appeared in court today. The men were charged with having items that could be used in connection with theft or burglary. There are calls on Donegal County Council to investigate what has been described as an escalating dumping issue in Letterkenny. A vast amount of discarded waste has been reported at the Windmill View area of the town, with concerns locally that the problem is increasing on a weekly basis. And the family of Deirdre Donnelly O'Flaherty have raised concerns about a Garda operation carried out in a search for her remains last week. The search, which involved the excavation of land outside Milford, proved inconclusive. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 14th of January. The death has taken place of Daniel O'Donnell, Cashleedon, Termon, Danny O, formerly of Chicago. His remains will leave Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, going to his brother Jimmy's home at Cashleedon to repose from 5 p.m. The removal is private with family only, please. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by cremation service. House private from 10 p.m. both nights and also on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Letterkenny University Hospital. Shuttle bus service from Termon Hall each evening from 5. The death has taken place of Johnny Boyce, Lower Meva, Downings. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning to St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Meva Cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary B. O'Donnell, Bavan Kilcar. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:30 for Funeral Mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Marie Eileen McGinley, née Carr, St. Shanahan's House, Ardra, and Castle Carn, Kilcar. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny this evening at 6 o'clock, arriving at St. Shanahan's House, Ardra, at 7:30. Reposing there until 11 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Removal from there on Wednesday morning at 9:15 for Funeral Mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar, at 10 o'clock, followed by private cremation in Cavan. The death has taken place of Dennis Sheehan, Mallon Road, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by cremation at 4 at Lakelands Crematorium, County Cavan. The death has taken place of Kevin McElhenney, Ballylusky, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his sister Martina Donaghy's home at Glack, Carndonagh. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 12:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Bumbleland's Donegal branch, care of any family member. The death has occurred of William Horace Raitt, Main Street, Stranorner. His remains will repose at St. Mary's Parish Church of Ireland, Stranorner, from 6:30 until 8:30 tonight. Funeral service of Thanksgiving tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, St. Joseph's Hospital, care of any family member. The house is private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of Rosemary MacDade, née Kelly, 4 St. Mary's Road, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30, going to St. Mary's Oratory for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Cremation in Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan, on Wednesday. Family and close friends only, please. Family flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of John Joseph Gormley, Springlawn House, Oma, and formerly of Millmount Road, Victoria Bridge. His remains are reposing at his sister Pauline McGrath's home at 237 Millmount Road, Victoria Bridge. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Lennox Cemetery, Newton Stewart. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Mencap, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, Strabam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of George Harran, Hawthorne Drive, Bleary, Lurgan, County Armagh, formerly of Sesha Hallison, Castle Finn. His remains will repose at Dunockmore Parish Church tomorrow afternoon from 12:30 with service at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot at Alt Presbyterian Church. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Gibson Funeral Directors, Convoy.